before. I'm just grateful for everybody that fills in, that volunteers. There's so many of you. We have a great volunteer spirit. I'm so grateful for those who are able to fill in for me in the pulpit. And I like it when there's times when I'm here and I have somebody preach, because, you know, I need to hear preaching and I need to hear how God shows you things out of His Word that sometimes I don't always see. And so I'm just grateful for the men that God uses here to preach and to teach. And so I wanted that to happen tonight on this New Year's Eve service. So I asked a couple of men, and I didn't ask them last minute, so they knew. But Brother W.T. and then Brother Don in just a little bit. So Brother W.T. is going to come, and I appreciate him. Be praying for him, because he's going to be heading to Cuba at the end of January. And did those religious visas come in? Is it? Not yet. Okay. So let's be praying for them, that when you get that particular type of visa, it allows you a lot more freedoms as far as in the witnessing side. And so we'll know more about that as that comes up. But at this time, I'm going to turn things over unto Brother W.T., and you give to us what the Lord's laid on your heart. Of course, I kind of gave them some things to kind of give to us, but we'll see how the Lord developed it as you put it on paper. Amen, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing it is to be up here. I know everybody keeps saying preaching, but I'm really not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. That's my forte. Somebody once said, when I just brought that up a little while ago, somebody said that the difference between preaching and teaching is the volume level. So I'm going to set my timer here, because one of the things Brother John, who I'm going to ask for prayer for, he's part of AAA ministry. He's the one that leads us to Cuba and Ghana and in Africa. And he's an evangelist, and they just rushed him to the hospital about 3 or 4 hours ago. And he had a hip replacement. Recovery was going great, but he got an abscess, and so they had to remove the abscess, and they're worried about septus. So I'm going to set the timer here, because one of the things he said was the reason that he brought that up, the reason I brought that up, was he said, you know, WT, you do a great job, but you just go so long. So I promise not to do that. Hopefully everybody got a handout. If not, there's some in the back. So that's helpful, and it helps me, because then I can cover different things. If we can have the slide up there. You started the year off with pray without ceasing. So I want to end the year with pray without ceasing. And the blessings from prayer that came in 2023 for me and those I know. Amen. You know, God's looking for people through whom He can use. And prayer helps us do that. He helps us and uses us that way. And as we pray for each other and pray for the nation and everything, we get to see God work. I like to keep a journal, and that helps me keep track of things, and I can go back. When Pastor first asked me if I talk about 2023, the blessings, first thing I said, well, I'm working on 2 Timothy. I'm on the second chapter. I'll just use that. But the Lord said no. So He brought me this, and He brought a text to me that I said, so you can wonder as I read this, like, why? Lord, how am I going to use this text for 2023? I'll read it in a minute. But relying on God, praying is relying on God for His strength to give us the mind and the heart to live for God. That's what 2023 taught me. There's so much that He worked on me. Number one was timing. And number two was not just praying, but earnest crying out with prayer. And that's what we'll see as we look at it. You know, A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity we only plan to do the things that we can do. That's right. And that's why we have to go to God in prayer and rely on His strength, relying on that. So, as we said, Cornerstone 2023 was prayed without ceasing. Now, Gospel Light, when I'm in Tennessee, theirs was grow in grace. And I was amazing how the two just worked together as we pray that we can grow in grace. Yeah. Those who trust God and those who trust God is going to provide, believing in faith that he will provide, he does, because God hears our prayer. Yes. And he answers them for sure. I know the one I hate is wait, but sometimes he says no. I can deal with no because that's no. You got it. But anyway, going to the text here, I'm going to see how it works. Looking back through 2023. So the text is in Jonah 2. It is 2 Jonah. And I'm going to start with verse 2, as it's there. And he said, I cried by reason in my affliction, and the Lord heard me out of the belly of hell. Did you hear that? He cried. Now he's in the belly of a well, and he's hollering out to God still. It doesn't matter where we're at. God still listens to us. And he goes on, and he said unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, thou hearest my voice. Verse 3, thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea. Who cast Jonah into the deep? I don't remember God doing that. It was sailors, right? But he knew it was God directing those sailors. And I saw in my life in 2023, God directing individuals in my life to help me come closer to him. Timing again. Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed me over. He still knew that although he was in the belly of the whale, with the waves crashing over it, God still owned the waves. He still owned the fish. He still created it. So he cried to him. And what I liked most of all was 4. And I said unto the cast thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. So he had faith that he would once again stand before God. As we go through the tough times that we go through, we can still have hope that God will take us through the floods and the waves. But unlike Jonah, there was times in 2023, I liked it right there. I stayed in the belly of the whale. And there's many of us that can stay in the belly of the whale and not be efficient for God. Stubborn, not repenting. He repented. He got right. Remember Peter? He repented. He got right with God. So we can be disobedient to the Holy Spirit, not wanting to tell some people the gospel or the good news. What do we do when we don't tell the gospel? What I do is sometimes I walk in the fear of man more than the fear of God. Yeah. And that's what stops me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll make it through these 3 points. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for what you did through your word to me, revealing what you did in 2023 in my life and those around me, those I love and those that I know. So we give you the praise and the glory for what you're doing and what you did and what you will do. Amen. All right. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Isn't Jesus great? Don't we love him? It's wonderful. Now, I've seen people not working for the Lord, and I've seen people that don't even want revival. Do you believe that? There's some people that don't even believe there will be a revival. But I've also seen people busy with the Lord's work. I've seen them. Hostile environment, everything, still going out, knocking on the door, still talking to that stranger, going into the hospital. I've seen revival around me in the last year. Last year started 2021 with going to Cuba. Half the visas were pulled. The evangelist, John Nordstrom, his was pulled. He couldn't even go out and preach. But yet we surpassed what we had did from the years before. 445 people saved. What a blessing to see God work. And as you know, it's not the individual, what they say or how they do it. As long as they're using God's word, it reaches the heart, and it's God that does the work. So 2023 has also been a year of the Lord Jesus come quickly. But we know that the waves of evil crash us over, administration that goes against the word of God, which is the world going against the word of God, challenge us to even speak it. It's more and more. Revelations 20, 22. He which testifies these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Next slide. Next two slides. I forgot to tell you to change it. There it is. He's all on it. Relying on God. That's what I learned. It's to rely on him completely. We learned that starting out in Cuba. We learned that there was a great trip I got to go to with this family to Mexico. What a blessing that was. There was a time of trial. We were coming back late one night, and there was gunfire. And the Lord directed us around it. And I was thinking, I didn't even have my Bible with me. I had my Bible with me. That won't stop much. I couldn't even have my gun with me. But you had to trust. When God puts us in those places, in the belly of the well, when we're in desire need of him, that's when we can trust him. And he allows that in our life to go to him. I don't know about Pastor, but I got to know him better. I got to know the whole team better. We had a great time. And it was a different ministry than Cuba, but it was a blessed ministry as we're able to serve and bless the pastor there. So, the Lord, it says, I forget that. There it is. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in the earth. That is from the Psalms. How excellent is his name in all the earth. Paul was on his way to Rome, and he was going to be put in a trial, and his ship, there was a storm brewing. It was terrible. People were throwing things overboard. He went down and prayed, and he got confirmation that everyone's going to be all right. But what did he do? He went out there and told those in authority that God said. What a blessed thing to do, relying on God. So many things I've seen, not only Cuba, the mission trips, but I've had an opportunity to go and visit legislators, to talk to them, to pray with them, to give them Bibles. And an amazing thing, one of the legislators, after we got through, said, let me pray for you. I was blown over. It was absolutely a blessing. Got to participate in a 24/7 read through the Bible at the Capitol. We also had a meeting where we invited all the legislators to come down. There was five that came. They were given 5 minutes each, and some of them even preached to us. What a blessing. What a blessing. God is moving, and it isn't hopeless. So, we also had an opportunity to work in the fair booth. That was a real blessing. Relying on God there, I didn't know what was going on or how we were going to do it. We had some training, but God was gracious there. There was people saved there. I've seen people saved. I call my work that I do to keep out of my wife's hair, because I can be a micromanaging, and the house is hers, you know. But I've seen people saved through the places that I work. I've had a blessing to talk about Christ at Silverwood, and I know there's a lot of Mormons there. I like that because they don't cuss. They don't do the things that a lot of the world do, but they still need to hear the gospel. Yeah, right. They may be good on the outside, but it's got to come from the inside.
Right.
And during my home care, I've seen people come to the Lord. One came to the Lord just in time, and he's now with the Lord. So what a blessing for that. So it's an opportunity for me. I consider it a ministry, and so I'm so thankful for that. So another thing he taught me in 2023 is his timing. Right now we're waiting for our visas, and I thought that was so fitting. The first team, I sent the visas out, the request, my passport to team one, was going with John, which I usually do, and he never received it. And he said, I thought you weren't going. We never communicated. But there's team two. They submitted their visas, their passports for their religious visas a week later. So it's God's timing. I believe he wants us to go, and if he does want me to go, he will provide. So that's a great opportunity to share the gospel wherever we are. Never pass up that opportunity. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all in the glory of God. Next slide. Revival starts from where? I already said it, from inside moving to our outside. We are never right with God, and he showed me that so many times through different messages from our pastor here, from our evangelist that came, R.B. Roulette, and from Tennessee, the pastors there. So many times that they were preaching the God's word, it touched my heart. And I realized that I had moved away from God. You know how you get used to things? This is what you do, and this is the way you do it. But he showed me by slowing things up and changing the way that they normally go to rely on him. So when we end up in the belly of the whale, just thank God for it. Praise him and know that he's doing it for a reason. So what we need to do from the inside is care more about the things of the world. There are certain things we have to take care of, but we need to care more for spiritual things. We need to be hungry for them. We need to be asking for them. That's what I've learned. Remember, I taught this message to me first, and that's where it applied. And he will give us a heart. He will take our fleshy heart, our stone heart, and turn it into flesh, said that backwards, and put a new spirit within you. And it says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. That's Ezekiel 11:19. So what do we say? The word should live in us. You know, I've got family members that they kind of say, oh boy, we're going to have WT over again. And they say, oh, he's preaching. I don't mean to be preaching. It's just when the word of God's in you, it just comes out. Yeah. Something they say makes a connection and it just flows out of my mouth. And so I had to tell them, I'm not preaching. I know you know it. That's just, I'm talking to another believer. These are believers. But they think I'm preaching. But anyway, that's tough times, huh? But let me tell you, no matter how tough it gets here, No matter how tough it gets here, remember, we're not going through the tribulation. Although I just heard tonight there's rockets flying and things that are happening. But we won't be here no matter what happens. No. I wanted to hear that horn. But what we need to do, what I needed to do, was be washed by the water of the word. And that's why I come to hear the preaching. Amen. And I love the men's preaching. I love our pastor's preaching. I take notes. It touches me sometimes more than others. And sometimes it's Monday that I go over, because part of my devotion is I take the notes from Sunday and I go over them. And it's amazing how God applies them to me. So I had to remove the clutter from my heart. Is what I did in 2023. There was a lot of clutter. I don't know about you, but try managing 2 houses, 3 bank accounts, visiting this family, that family. There's a lot of clutter there that if I allow it to stress me and say, I've got to do this, I've got to do then. And I set up times. I like to set up the whole year in advance. Now, if you don't plan, you've heard it said, you plan to fail. But you got to be flexible with that plan. George Mueller, my hero. I am going to read one of the things is read another book, the book I've read from him. It's been a couple of years. And he was a man that he said when he prayed, he had great miracles happening. I don't have time to go into it, but what he said first removed all the clutter of the world from his thoughts. I have not accomplished that, but it sounds like it would work if you could do it. And the Word of God does that as we washed. Next slide, please. Moving right along. Righteousness equals a holy nation. We have to be righteous. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. That is so marvelous when I'm in the light. And I know when I'm in the spirit. I know it, and I know when I'm not, too. My wife, when she has something to tell me about, I don't want to tell too much on her, but she had to tell me something that was pretty important, and it could have upset me. So she said, the first time she said was, are you in the spirit? at that point, I said, give me a minute. Because I'd just gotten back from work. And some of you guys know what that's like. All the pressures of work. You had you're back and you haven't unwound yet. So I had to get in the spirit because I definitely wasn't in it. All right. Number four, I'm not going to talk about, but it's on there. I would like you, if you get an opportunity, to write your many blessings of 2023. Because Psalm says, 145, 2 and 4, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. You wonder, how will I get it all done? I'll tell you, we only have 24 hours a day. We have 1,440 minutes a day, 86,400 seconds in a day. That's all we get. Every second we waste is not serving the Lord, is a second we waste not serving the Lord. Somebody once said, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Psalm 31, I'm going to close with this, Psalm 31, 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. 2023 showed me the hope more in the Lord. It didn't matter what was going on around me. As Pastor and other of you has said, I'm not there perfectly yet, but I'm running towards it. I'm striving to go with what the Lord provides as he brings those trials and those blessings and just knowing and counting on him being in charge. Let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for what you taught me through your word. I'm thankful that you have given me an opportunity to share what you've taught me. I pray that it be a blessing to those here, and I give you the praise and the glory and look forward to the next message. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Brother WT. Wasn't that great? You know, if we were paying attention and if we were determined to walk with the Lord, then he had some lessons for us in 2023. And, you know, Brother WT, some of those lessons, certainly the Lord was working in my heart. Not necessarily some new things, just some things that I needed to keep working on. And that's learning how to wait on him, learning how to wait. That's not an easy thing, is it? It's a struggle because it goes against our old nature. It just goes against every one of us. We want things to happen right away. And yet the Lord says, I'll do it in my timing. And so that was the other part there. They go together, learning how to wait because God's timing is perfect. And I think probably that's one of the greatest lessons I think that the Lord is teaching me over and over is that, Lord, you're a master at timing. And I have a knack of messing up your timing. And we can all do that. And I've done it too many times. So my prayer, my constant prayer is I want to see things done in your timing, so please help me to just get in step with what you want, because you know the timing. You remember how when the Lord waited and Lazarus died, and then Mary and Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst come, my brother would not have died. But the Lord was wanting to show something marvelous, and so it was not a mistake that he waited. He waited a few extra days and then came. But the Lord's timing is so perfect, and may we understand that. That's what I'm wanting to learn more and more. Brother, thank you. Thank you. And I love that. Whatever, some 10 blessings. We should all know what God's been doing in our hearts and what he did this last year. And jot those things down. I will take note on that and just think about more of the things that God worked in my heart about. Thank you, Brother WT. Great message. I sure appreciate that. All right, we're going to sing a hymn. Then in just a moment, we'll hear from Brother Don. But I'll bring Brother Stan, if you'll come up.
All right, if you will stand again, please. 216, When We See Christ. Seems long, our trials. tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal.
See Christ. Amen. Okay, that's some good advice. All right, you may be seated. All right, this time I'm going to have Brother Don Cooley come on up. And Brother Don is always such a blessing to me. This was great tonight, hearing from Brother W.T. and then Brother Don. And yep, I kind of laid it out before him. I asked Brother W.T. to look back and the blessings, and Brother Don looking forward to the blessings before us. Thank you, Brother Don.
Amen. Give me a verse, though.
So.
Well, anyway, good to see all you folks here tonight.
I guess this thing's on. Yeah, here now. So, I heard that the way to deliver a successful message is to have a good ending, or a good beginning and a good ending, and to have the two as close to possible together. So, I told you I'd be quick. Yeah, get the right page here. So, can start at the end. You might want to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:17 tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is talking about a soul, though, getting saved. Not talking about a new year, but these things can be put together and apply sometimes, you know. But tomorrow is a new day. It's a new year. Start another trip around the sun here. You know, it's time for new beginnings. Yeah. You know, many people make resolutions at this time of year to make changes in their lives. Some may vow to eat more healthy, lose weight, go to the gym, drink more water, get more sleep, you know. And we try to improve our bodies and keep them going, but that's not the bottom line, though. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer here. Father, tonight, as I speak before the church, Lord, I just pray you to watch my tongue and guard my thoughts and my sayings, Lord. And God, we come to your house to receive a blessing from you. And Lord, you're the one that gives it. So we just thank you that we're able to help these things get out to the congregation. Lord, tonight, we just do think of so many that can't be here because of sickness and travel and other things. And Father, we know that your ever watchful eye is upon them too. So, Lord, we ask you to bless them wherever they are. And so tonight, God, be with us. And Lord, just keep us all safe and keep us well as we look for another year here. In Jesus' name. Amen. But you know, we try to do all these bodily things to, again, to promote our bodies. But there's emotional and spiritual things that really need attention in our lives too. Things like being more patient and kind, more loving, more forgiving of others. That's a hard one to do sometimes, forgiving, but the Lord asked us to do that. He forgave us so much. You know, sometimes people can be a real pain in your patience, you know, but it's true, but, you know, but God wants us to have peace of mind, not to give them a piece of our mind. He wants us to have peace of mind. And, you know, times like that, we just need to go to the Lord in prayer, because if we've got to get in the last word, it should be amen. So, amen. You know, Christians are not exempt from a spiritual checkup. We all need a spiritual checkup. Should be daily, probably, but sometimes we wait a while before we do that. But are you content with your present service to the Lord? Are you attending and supporting this church as God would ask you to do? Are you praying for this church? Are you praying for our pastor and for his family? Are you praying for our missionaries, the ones that God has sent our way for support? We need to be praying for them all the time. We have worship service and prayer service, and we have visitation, we have door knocking, witnessing to family, witnessing to neighbors, and any others that are in our orbit. Yeah, all that should be a regular part of our lives. We just don't need to just hole up and come back, Lord, you know, because he wants us to be working for him. You know, Christianity is not a part-time spectator sport. It's a daily walk. And God asks us to walk, pick up our cross every day and make that walk. You know, some people just want to serve God as only as advisors, you know. They don't want to listen to him and do what he asks them to do. Many lost people, and even some Christians, they tend to try to whittle God down to a size that they can manage him, you know, to make him fit into their own religion, you know. Well, but you know, only God can define who God is and what God is. We only see the hem of his garment like Moses did. And did I lose something here? Okay. We're back. But like Moses did when the Lord walked past him, you know, he just got to saw a little bit. Man cannot look upon God, at least down here up in heaven. I guess we'll be able to see the Lord God face to face, so that'll be a blessing. But you know, there's frontline Christians, and there's watch and wait Christians, you know, in this spiritual battle. That there's a battle that rages over this whole earth. And you just see it all the time in the news and the headlines all over. It's looks pretty ferocious. Looks like it's getting worse, but then again, the Lord's still as strong and able as he ever's been, you know. So we need to remember that. And you know, whether we like it or not, we're right in the middle of this spiritual war as Christians. You know, God wants us to be warriors, and he don't want us to end up a prisoner of war, you know, and he's there for us. That's right. Now, Satan's on the attack to each of us every day. He attacks every one of us. It's been said if you never ran into Satan on the road of life, it might be because you're both traveling in the same direction. So think about that. And that can happen, yeah. Yeah, but he will use any means or anybody to disarm you, to destroy you if he can. He wants to disable you for service to the Lord. And if he could, he'd try to destroy this church. You know, would probably be a good day for him if he could take down a couple of churches. So we need to guard against those things. But, you know, he'll use your own weaknesses against you because he knows them better than you do. And But God's word can prepare you. God's word, where'd I go here? God's word can help you to recognize and resist any attacks that come your way. And God will show you the purpose he has for your life, because he has a purpose for everybody. He really does. No matter who you are, how old or young you are, you can be useful to God, you know. As long as you don't just hide out somewhere and turn your back on the whole thing. But we need the Lord's help at all times. And we can't fight spiritual battles in our own strength. Relying on yourself is pride. And pride will get you nowhere in a spiritual battle. It will not help. But victory begins when we surrender our will to the Lord. Because submitting to God is essential for this battle that we're in, whether we signed up for it or not. If we're a Christian, we're in the battle. James 4:6 tells us, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." He will. If we are humble before the Lord, he will notice that. You need to listen to what God says to your heart, not to a world full of excuses as to why you can't serve him. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I'm not good enough. Somebody else will do it. You know, there's 1,000 excuses out there why we can't serve the Lord. But there's one reason to, because he asked us to. We need to listen to that. God is our creator, and you know what? Who knows better than your creator what is best for your life? You think about that, you know? We think we want to be in the driver's seat, but the Lord knows best for us. You know, we make daily choices either to serve God or serve ourselves. And many times, I know, I end up serving myself. You know, life is hard, but it's even harder without God. It is. With God, he helps you through. You know, sometimes you're walking through the valley of the shadow, and other times you're walking on higher ground. But the Lord is there with us wherever we walk. Right. You may be surrounded by enemies, but those enemies are nothing to God. God can take care of them. I read that somebody said, we're saved by God, we're saved from God, and we're saved for God. We're saved by God because, well, he's our creator, and he's the only one that can save us. We're saved from God because we're saved from his wrath and his judgment. So that's a blessing. And we're saved for God. We're saved for Christian service in his name. That's why he wants us, keeps us here, to serve him, not to serve ourselves. You know, when you think about it, too, the only thing that we brought to the cross when we got saved was our sin. And what did the Lord trade us for that? He gave us eternal life and a home in heaven. I mean, boy, we got the better of that deal, didn't we? I mean, wow. You always need to remember that. In my mind, the two most important functions of a church are evangelism and the discipling of the saved. Outreach and inreach. Saving souls and ministering to the saints. It's been said that this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. Think about it. They are. Not the Christians of the past that are going to save them today, but it's those that are here alive right now. You remember when Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? You know, well, the answer to that is yes, you are your brother's keeper. You need to be watching out for every soul out there, saved or unsaved. You need to be helping them along if you can. You know, this church does, it reaches out those through missionaries and Awana meetings, visitations, door knocking, and many other avenues we have of evangelism as we reach out. And I know we can probably never do enough, but we can do something. And the saved are strengthened and encouraged by worship service and Bible study, prayer meetings, and regular fellowship with other believers. That's a very important part of it, is that fellowship. And there's a couple more things going to be coming up here, the young marriage class and the Awana parents class. That's some outreach and inreach right there that's available. So that could be a real blessing to the church and to the folks that are involved. You know, Cornerstone is not perfect, but Cornerstone is reaching out in many ways to people, those within the church and those without the church. But no outreach will work without people. You know that? Can't do it by itself. You know, the first two letters of the word gospel is G-O, go, right? Gospel. People need to go to the lost. You need to do that. And the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. You ever had somebody that you knew that you never got a chance to witness to, and something happened to them, and you never seen them again? The gospel's got to get there on time. You know, and we always got to keep in mind that no one's too good or too bad to be saved. People need to hear the word of God. We need to remember what we're saved from and what we're saved for. We are. We're saved from hell and we're saved to serve God. So keep that in mind. Matthew 28:19, a very familiar verse to most of us, should be anyway. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This verse is a command. You know, it's our work order. We're supposed to be listening to that and following that. Because this world's going to crash and burn someday, and many souls will burn with it. You know, only God knows when this world will end. Only God knows who will be saved. But we still need to preach the gospel to everyone out there. It all hasn't happened yet, so there's still time to get out there and work, folks, and keep talking to people. It's a spiritual battle for souls. This world is a wilderness, but heaven's the promised land, right? You know, and no matter how hard people try out there, and you see it all the time, they can't fix this world without God. They're going to try everything they can, but they can't do it. It's a spiritual problem. And it demands a spiritual answer. A solution has to be spiritual. Like someone said, you don't waste your time rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic when you need to be filling up the lifeboats. You know, today this world is a terrible mess, though. There's wars everywhere, even in our streets of this country. Hate and violence just seem to rule so many people in so many places. It seems like there's hardly any love or kindness or peace left anywhere. Evil is on a rampage, and the problems of 20 years ago seem like the good old days, you know. But when sinful man rules over his heart, this is what we get. This is what we get. But, you know, there is a place in everybody's heart that is meant only for God. People try to fill an empty spot with with people, with pleasure, possessions, or whatever, but they can't fill it. Sinful man can't understand why they're still not satisfied, and they try everything under the sun to try to fill that spot. They can't do it. Sin never gets enough, and sin will reign until people invite God into their heart. Only God can satisfy that longing in our hearts. This world, it just gives you empty promises. That's all we get. Even in a Christian's heart, there can be a tug of war with this world. We know that this is a spiritual battle, but God is the final victor. God wins. He will have the final say. You know, we all have our personal spiritual battles, and the best weapons that we have are God's word, the Bible, and the power of prayer. Those are powerful weapons that God has given to us to deal with our lives and the things around us in this world. These two things can overcome any battle because they're backed up by the power of God. Amen. And God will win this war with our help or without our help. God is going to win. How much better it be to triumph with him than to sit by and just watch it happen, you know? God is supreme, and he created us, and he knows us intimately. He knows our hearts and our desires, our strengths and our failures. He fights our battles with or without us. He does take care of things that we don't even know about. Even though we can be weak and selfish, he still loves us. It's amazing. He's an amazing God. The Bible says God is love, and there's no better expression of that love than the fact that he sent his only son to die and pay the penalty for our sins. That is love.
That's right.
David Livingston, missionary David Livingston, Dr. Livingston, I presume, so he said, God had only one son, and he made that son a missionary. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. But John 3:16, a very familiar verse to everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's son. He gave everyone life, and he wants everyone to have everlasting life. God would that everyone did be saved. He doesn't disclude anybody from hearing the salvation message. People reject. God is a missionary God. God's word, the Bible, is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. Christians are meant to be missionary people. So it's very important. One of the great commands that God gave us is to preach to the lost. You know, the future has many unknowns, but there is all these opportunities to draw closer to God. We all need to seek and search for the ways that he wants us to serve him, because he does. He wants us to serve him. We need to be a witness with our words, with our actions, always remembering that somebody shared the gospel with you. God wants all to be saved. Will you do more in 2024? Or will you be content with yourself the way you are now? Will you do more? There's no limit to what God can do through a willing servant. Nothing's impossible with God. Remember that Christ came as a humble servant, offering God's only way to heaven. He showed us the way, and he led the way. You can trust him for anything because he's your creator, your God, and your Savior. You can trust him. So what do you expect from God in 2024? What can he expect from you in 2024? None of us knows how many tomorrows we have, but we know who holds tomorrow, like the song says. The Lord does. So we need to continue to read our Bibles. We need to pray some more. We need to be doing that every day. And we need to be seeking what the Lord has for us, because he has so many blessings for us that we can't even realize that we don't deserve. You know, he, thankfully God doesn't give us what we deserve half the time, and other times he gives us so much more than we deserve. Amen. He's a great loving God, and we need to seek him every chance we get. So let's have a moment of prayer. Father, thank you, God, again for this church, for this congregation, Lord. And most of all, I thank you, God, for our mighty Savior, Jesus Christ, who continues to do work in this world. And, Lord, just help us to see what he wants us to be doing for him this coming year, Lord. We can't regret anything from the past, and we can't be afraid of anything in the future, Lord. We just need to live for you one day at a time. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.